This week's Parsha is Parsha Shmini, and we are going to start the Parsha in the first Pasuk in this week's Parsha, chapter 9, verse number 1. The Pasuk says, Vahi Bayoim HaShmini, and it was in the 8th day. Rashi explains this is not the 8th day of the month, but this is the 8th day of the inauguration process, which started 7 days before the month of Nisan. And this day, the 8th day, in actuality, was Rosh Chodesh Nisan. In that day, Kora Moshe Laharon Levonov, Moshe Rabbeinu calls Aharon and his children, Ulezikne Israel, and to the elders of Israel. Rashi is bothered, why is Moshe Rabbeinu calling the elders of Israel? Because it doesn't mention that he's going to say anything to the elders of Israel. Because in Pasuk number 2, it says, Vayoymer El Aharon, that Moshe Rabbeinu said to Aharon, Kach lecho ege ben boko lechatos, take for yourself a young bull for a sin offering. Then we see that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't say anything to the elders of Israel. Then for what purpose did Moshe Rabbeinu call the elders of Israel? Rashi answers, Lashmiyam, to let them hear, shal pi adibur, that according to the statement of Hashem, that is the normal interpretation, Aharon nichnas, Aharon enters, umeshamesh b'kehuna gedoyla, and officiates as a high priest, veloyomru, and they should not say, meaning the elders should not say, that me'el of nichnas, that Aharon decided to come into the office of Kohen Gadol on his own. The Sifsei Chachomim in the Gur Aryeh, the Mizrahi, asks a question that in last week's Parsha, chapter 8, verse number 3, it starts, ve'eskol o'edo hakel, and the whole congregation gather El Pesach or El Moed, to the door of the tent of meeting. And then it says, Vayas Moshe Kashet Shiva Hashem Oisoi, that Moshe Rabbeinu did as Hashem had commanded him, Vatikoyel Oeda, and the whole congregation was gathered, El Pesach or El Moed, into the door of the El Moed. And then it says, Vayomer Moshe El Oeda, Moshe Rabbeinu tells the congregation, Ze HaDovor Asher Tzivo Hashem Lasois. This is the thing that Hashem has commanded to be done. Rashi explains, what does it mean, Ze HaDovor, this is the thing? Rashi says, Dvorim Shetiru, the things that you will see, Shani Oise Lifneichem, that I'm doing in front of you now, Tzivani HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lasois, Hashem has commanded me to do, Ve'al Toimru, and do not say, Lichvoidi, for my honor, and for the honor of my brother, I'm acting. Meaning that Moshe Rabbeinu has to tell the Jewish people, the whole congregation, specifically, that Hashem is doing this and not him. Don't think that I'm doing it myself. This is done because Hashem told me to do. Then theoretically, it is the same thing that is written here. Then theoretically, the Jewish people already saw at that point that Moshe Rabbeinu is doing that in the name of Hashem and not on his own. Then why is it necessary now to gather the elders of Israel again to tell them again that Moshe Rabbeinu is not emancipating, giving honor to Aharon on his own, that in reality Hashem is the one that commands them to give honor to Aharon? All the Mefarshim answer that in the previous Parsha, where it says, Ze HaDovar Shetzivo Hashem, this is the thing Hashem commanded, that is referring to Aharon being dressed as a Kohen, as a regular priest, and that he will be part of the service in the temple. That was said in front of the Jewish people. But now that Moshe Rabbeinu is even giving a higher level of honor to Aharon, because Aharon now is becoming the high priest, therefore Moshe Rabbeinu has to say again, that this is Hashem telling me to do, and I'm not doing it on my own. Meaning that since there is two stages of honor that Aharon received, first he served as a regular priest, because the first 7 days of the inauguration process, Moshe Rabbeinu served as the high priest. Then Moshe Rabbeinu wanted everybody to know that this was done in the name of Hashem. But now Moshe Rabbeinu is elevating Aharon to an even higher position, to the position of high priest. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu has again to gather the elders and tell them that Hashem is the one who chose Aharon, he's not doing it on his own. And according to this, Rashi's words are very exact, because Rashi says that Shalpia Dibur Aharon Nechnas Meshamesh Bikehuna Gedoyle, to let them know that it is through the word of Hashem that Aharon is coming in to serve as a high priest. Meaning that since he's becoming now a high priest, then Moshe Rabbeinu had to tell the people that Aharon is getting the high priesthood because Hashem is the one who told him to do. We will still have to resolve the question of why in chapter 8, verse number 3, there it says that Moshe Rabbeinu gathered the whole congregation of the Jewish people, El Pesach or El Moed, into the door of the tent of meeting, meaning that there Moshe Rabbeinu did it in front of the whole of Jewish people to tell them that Hashem chose Aharon. And here it's only mentioned that Hashem called the Zikne Yisrael, the elders of the Jewish people. Why didn't he call the whole congregation of Jewish people in this meeting? Sefer Chaimah Sanach explains that since in Pasuk number 2 it says, Vayoymer el Aharon, Moshe Rabbeinu tells Aharon, Kach lecha egel ben bokor lechatos, take for yourself a calf, a young male of cattle, for a sin offering. And Rashi explains, why is he bringing a calf for a sin offering? Rashi says, Loidia, to let Aharon know, Shekiper leHaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ayedei egel ze, Amase o egel she'oso, that through this calf that Aharon is bringing as a sin offering, Hashem is forgiving him for the golden calf that he made for the Jewish people. That means that right after the gathering, we were reminded about the sin of the golden calf. Hashem did not want to depress the Jewish people. Therefore, Hashem only called the elders of Israel because they will see that Aharon received the atonement for the golden calf and they will understand the importance of it. But if they would call the Jewish people, then the Jewish people would have seen that Aharon received atonement for the golden calf. They would remember their own sin with the golden calf. They would have become depressed. And since this is the day of the inauguration of the tabernacle, Hashem didn't want to have the people depressed. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu only called the elders of Israel. Rabbi Shlomo Kluger asks another question and he answers the question. And through that answer, we could also answer our question. Meaning, Rabbi Shlomo Kluger asks, why is it written in the eighth day, Moshe Rabbeinu called Aharon and his sons and the elders of Israel, when we know that every day Aharon, his sons, and the elder of Israel came to learn Torah with Moshe Rabbeinu? He answers based on the Pasuk in Mishlei, chapter 14, verse number 10, where the Pasuk there says, Leiv yoideya moras nafshoi, a heart knows the bitterness of his soul, meaning a lot of times we don't see something but our mazel, our sixth sense, our body feels it. And specifically when there is a danger looming, you may not actually see the danger, but you get a feeling that there is a danger. And here too, Aharon and his children and the elders of Israel felt there is something going to happen today, meaning something bad is going to happen today. As a matter of fact, in chapter 10, verse number 6, there it's written, after Nadav and Avihu died, V'chol beis Israel yivku ez asreifu asher sarav Hashem, that the whole house of Israel will cry over the burning that Hashem burned, meaning over the death of Nadav Avihu, who died by burning. Since Aharon and his children cannot mourn over them because they are the priests, the Jewish people are going to mourn over them. And as the Gemara explains, that every time it says Vayhi Bayoim, that it was in the day, it is a Loshen Tsar, it's an expression of pain, of grief. That means there is something bad going to happen. Therefore, Aharon and his children and the elders of Israel felt that there is something bad going to happen in this day. They decided they are not going to come to Moshe Rabbeinu. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu had to call Aharon and his children, the elders of Israel, to come and do the service. According to this, we could understand also why Moshe Rabbeinu only called the elders of Israel. because it could be that the whole congregation of Jewish people were there already. But since the elders of Israel and Aharon his children, they had an inner feeling that something bad is going to happen, they decided that they're going to refrain from coming to Moshe Rabbeinu that day. But the other Jews who didn't have such affinity to their inner feelings, and they didn't feel that anything bad is going to happen, they came as they would come every day. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu specifically had to call Aharon and his children and the elders of Israel. But the other people were there. But we'll soon give a different answer why Moshe called the elders of Israel. On last week's parsha, on Pasuk number 3 that we mentioned, the verse says literally, Veskol Oedo, and the whole congregation, Hakel, gather El Pesach or El Moed into the door of the tent of meeting. Rashi is bothered, how is it possible that the whole congregation of the Jewish people is going to stand in the entrance of the tent of meeting? Rashi answers, and this is based on the Medrash Tanchuma, and the Medrash Tanchuma says, Masa Neis Ayo, that it was a miracle, meaning that it's a miracle that all the Jewish people fit at the door of the tent of meeting. Vezeh Echod Mina Mekoimois, and this is one of the places, Shehechzik Hamuat Esa Meruba, that a small place held a lot of people. Meaning that this is a very small place, but nonetheless Hashem made a miracle that a lot of people were able to be there. The question that we are going to ask is, we know that Hashem does not make miracles for no reason. Meaning, every time Hashem makes a miracle, there is a purpose for that miracle. What was the purpose of this miracle that a lot of people would fit at the door of the tent of meeting? What is that coming to teach us? Another question that we are going to ask on chapter 8, verse number 2, there it says, Hashem tells to Moshe saying, Kach es Aharon, take Aharon. Rashi explains, it doesn't mean literally to pick up Aharon and take him. It means to take him with words, Umashcheyu, and convince him to do the service. Meaning that it seems that Aharon wasn't going to do the service. He needed convincing to do the service. Therefore Hashem said that Moshe Rabbeinu should persuade Aharon to do the service. The question that we are going to try to answer is, why would Aharon not want to do the service? Quite opposite. The purpose of a person is to serve Hashem. And if Hashem wants Aharon to be his priest, how can Aharon say that I don't want to be his priest? Give the job to somebody else. Clearly Aharon shouldn't need any convincing. Well, then why does Hashem have to command Moshe Rabbeinu to go and convince Aharon to do the service? Sefer Shemeroish wants to answer this question based on the Gemara in Hoirius, Daf Yud Beis, Omed Aleph 12a. There the Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanon, the rabbis learned, it's written in chapter 133, verse number 2, Keshemen Atoiv, like the precious oil, Ala Roish Yoret Elazoken, on the head that goes on the beard, Zekan Aharon, the beard of Aharon. The Gemara says, that Kamish Nei Tipos Margolios Ayotlios Laharon Biskonoi, when Moshe Rabbeinu poured the anointing oil on Aharon at his inauguration, some of the oil flowed to the beard of Aharon and it became like two drops of pearls of oil hanging at the bottom of Aharon's beard. And in regards to these two drops of oil, the Gemara says, Omar Rav Papa says, Tana, that we learned, when Aharon used to speak with other people, then oilois veyoishves loy beiker zkanoi, then those two drops of oil that were in the bottom of his beard used to go up and used to become lodged in the root of his beard, meaning that used to become lodged in the root so they won't fall when he speaks to people. And Sefer Shemeroish wants to understand what is the symbolism that Aharon used to have two drops of oil in the bottom of his beard, and when he used to speak to the people, those two drops of oil used to travel up his beard and settle in the root. What is the Gemara trying to tell me? Why would Hashem make such a miracle? What's the purpose of it? To answer this question, we are going to bring the Mishnah in Avos, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Yud Beis, the first Perek, Mishnah number 12, where the Mishnah there says, Hillel Omer, Hillel says, Havemi Talmidov Shel Aharon, be one of the students of Aharon, Oyev Sholem, whose character trait was that he loved peace, Veroidev Sholem, and he chased after peace, Oyev Asabriois, he loved the people, Umekarvon LaTorah, and used to bring them close to Torah. And the Bartanur explains from the Avos de Rav Nosson that Aharon had a special method of making peace, meaning that when he saw two people at odds with one another, then he would approach each person separately and he would tell the person that the other one feels so bad that he had this argument with you and he would like to make a reconciliation, but he doesn't know how to approach you. And he would say the same thing to the second person. And when these two people would meet each other, they would hug and they would make peace. Then Aharon used to actively make peace, and not only used to make peace with people, he actually used to pursue people to make peace. He was looking around to see if people are at odds in order for him to be able to make peace between them. And the Avos de Rav Nosson also explains what is the meaning of the end of this Mishnah, where it says that Umekarvon LaTorah, that Aharon used to bring people close to Torah. How did Aharon bring people close to Torah? And the Avos Rav Nosson explains that when Aharon saw somebody who transgressed an aveira, a crime, or he saw somebody who is living in a sinful way, Aharon would specifically befriend him, and then, overwhelmed by Aharon's display of affection, the sinner would feel ashamed and say to himself, if only Aharon knew how my true character is, he would never look at me. And that caused this sinner to repent and brought him close to Torah. And that is the meaning of the verse in Malachi chapter 2, where it says, Beshalom, in peace, v'mishoy, and in a straight line, holach iti, he walked with me, verabim, and a lot of people, heishiv me'avoin, he brought back from sin. We see from this Mishnah that Aharon's main trait was always trying to pursue peace, not only that there should be harmony between one man and another, but also there should be harmony between the man and Hashem, meaning that Aharon was always involved in making peace between man and man, and also between man and Hashem, so much so that when Aharon dies in chapter 20 of Hukas, verse number 29, there it says that after Aharon died, Vayivku as Aharon shloishim yoim, and they cried for Aharon 30 days, Koil Beis Israel, the whole house of Israel. Rashi explains, what does it mean, the whole house of Israel? Rashi says, Ho anoshim ve'anoshim, that the men and women cried over Aharon. Why? The fish of Aharon, roidev sholem mati v'havo, beim balo meriva. Aharon used to chase after peace, and he brought love between two people that were fighting, uvein ish liishtoy, and between man and wife. Then we see clearly that Aharon was involved always in making peace between the people. And since we know how much effort it is required to make peace between two people, and for sure more effort is required to make peace between two groups, and yet Aharon was able to maintain peace amongst 600,000 Jews, then we could only assume how much time and devotion and effort it was required for Aharon in order to make that peace, meaning the peace among 600,000 Jews. And if you spend so much time for the peace process, then seemingly you would not have time to learn Torah. But yet, the Pasuk in Malachi says exactly the opposite. The Pasuk in Malachi, after the Pasuk that says that B'Sholom v'Mishor Olachiti, that with peace and fairness he walked with me, V'Rabim Heishiv Me'avoin, and he turned many away from their iniquities, the Pasuk continues in Pasuk number 7, Kisivse Koyen Yishmiru Das, for the lips of the Koyen should safeguard knowledge, V'Toyre Yevakshu Mipiu, and Toyre they will ask from his mouth, Ki malach Hashem tzevois hu, because he is an agent of Hashem, the master of legions. We see that even though Ahar Nakoyen had to devote a lot of time for doing peace, nonetheless, he knew a lot of Torah, and not only he knew a lot of Torah, he actually taught people a lot of Torah because they came to him and asked him Torah. Then the question is, how is it possible that he should have time to learn when he has to devote so much time to making peace between man and man and man and Hashem? And the answer could be the same answer that the Gemara brings down in Brachos Daf Lamed Beis Omed Beis 32b, where the Gemara there says, Tanu Rabbanon, the rabbis learned, Chasidim Orishonim, the early pious people, Hayushoim Shoachas, they used to tarry, meaning they used to wait 1 hour before praying. They used to concentrate on what they're going to pray for 1 hour. Umispallim Shoachas, and their prayer, their Shmonesre, took 1 hour. Vechoizrim Shoin Shoachas, and after prayer, they used to cool down, they used to reflect on what they prayed for 1 hour. That means that the early pious people used to spend 9 hours in prayer. Because if each prayer, each monaster took 3 hours, 1 hour before, 1 hour after, and an hour to say the monaster, and you're required to pray 3 times a day, Shachris, Mincha, and Marev, that means that you spend 9 hours in prayer. The Gemara asks, if they spend 9 hours in the day praying, how is their Torah preserved? And how is their work accomplished? Meaning, when do they have time to review what they study? And when do they have time to earn a livelihood? The Gemara answers, Ela mitoich shechassidim hem, because they were pious people, Toirason mishtameres, their Torah was preserved. Rashi explains, what does it mean the Torah was preserved? Rashi says, was preserved in their heart, she'ein talmudam mishtakach, that Hashem gave a bracha, that their learning was not forgotten, meaning that they didn't need to review, and umalachtom is bareches, and their work is blessed. And the Rishonim brachas, perik hei alocha aleph, adds that the bracha was given in their Torah, and a bracha was given in their work, which means that since they are pious people, Hashem makes it, they don't have to spend a lot of time to understand and to remember what they learned. They don't require to review so much, because they are pious people, Hashem makes it that they are able to understand in a short time very complicated and complex things, and also that they are not required to review as much as other people require to review in order to remember the learning. The Chasam Sofer uses this Gemara in Parshas Shoftim. We are discussing Zoken Mamre, a rebellious elder. A rebellious elder is somebody that is judging a certain way in his town, and the rabbis in that town say that he is not judging the proper way. Then they take this dispute to the Yerushalayim, to the Sanhedrin, and let the Sanhedrin decide how to judge this dispute. And after the Sanhedrin gives the ruling on this dispute, this elder decides that he is going to ignore the Sanhedrin and is going to rule according to his own opinion. That is considered a Zoken Mamre, a rebellious elder. And the Torah prescribes that the punishment for a rebellious elder is death. The Chasam Sofer is on chapter 17, verse number 12, where there the Torah says, Ve'oish ashayase bezodoin, and the person that will do on purpose, levilti shemoa el hakoyen, by not listening to the koyen, ha'oymed l'shores shom as Hashem lokecha, who stands there to serve Hashem your God, oy el hashofet, or to the judge, meaning this rebellious elder is not going to listen to the koyen that stands to serve Hashem or to the judge, then umeis oishahu, that person should die, meaning the rebellious elder should die. Uviarta haram Israel, and you should remove the evil from amongst the Jews. Then the Pasuk 13 continues, V'chala om ishmu veirau, that the whole nation should hear and fear, v'lo yezidun oid, and they should not do willfully anymore, meaning that they shouldn't do bad things anymore. The question that the Chasam Sofer asks, first of all, why does the Pasuk needs to give me such a long description of what the Kohen does? We know what a Kohen does. We know that the job of a Kohen is to serve Hashem in the temple. Then why does the Torah have to say that the person who is going to do on purpose, levil tishmo el Kohen, by not listening to the Kohen, ha'oimet l'shores shom asher Hashem Elokeicha, that stands there to serve Hashem. He could have just said, levil tishmo el Kohen, by not listening to the Kohen, or el ha'shofet, or to the judge. Why is it required to write down what the Kohen does? And the next question that the Chasam Sofer asks, that the Pasuk says that we should kill this rebellious elder, then the nation will hear and they will fear. The question is, how does the killing of the rebellious elder affect the nation? Most people in the nation aren't elders. They are not going to rebel against the Sanhedrin because they don't know how to judge. We are talking here about an exceptional case where this elder, who believes he's smarter than the Sanhedrin, he is going to judge his own way, going against what the Sanhedrin say. But most people in the nation aren't of the level to defy the Sanhedrin, not to do what the Sanhedrin say. And even if they would judge against the Sanhedrin, most people don't have the knowledge, so people won't listen to them. Then what does the Torah mean that the people should hear and fear and not do willfully bad acts again? How is that going to influence them not to do bad things? Meaning, how is the death of the rebellious elder going to influence the people not to do bad things? The simple interpretation is that if we see somebody who defies the Sanhedrin, even an elder is put to death, then for sure, if you don't follow what the Torah says or don't follow what the Sanhedrin say, then you have to fear that maybe you will be put to death. But the Chasam Sofer gives a different answer. The Chasam Sofer brings the Gemara in Brachas, Daf Lamed Beis, Omed Beis that we mentioned, 32b that we mentioned, that regarding the pious people, even though they are praying for 9 hours a day, nonetheless Hashem gives a blessing in their Torah, that their Torah knowledge does not become diminished because of their service to Hashem. And the Chasam Sofer continues and says that in the beginning of the parsha of the rebellious elder, in verse number 9, the pasuk says, "Uvos el kohanim alevim," should come to the kohanim, the Levites, "ve'al shofet asher yeh bayomim ahem," and to the judge that's going to be in those days. Rashi is bothered. Clearly, you cannot go to a judge that's in previous days. Rashi explains, "Afilu eino keshar shoftim shoyu lefonecha," even though he's not in the level of other judges that were before you, meaning his knowledge is not as great as the judges of the previous generations, "ato tzorech lishmoy aloy," you still require to listen to him, because "ein loch elo shofet shebeyomecha," you only could use the judge that's in your days, meaning that this rebellious elder is having a dispute with the judges in his town, and they want to know where to go to settle the dispute. They really don't want to go to Yerushalayim, because they believe that they are smarter than the judges in Yerushalayim, and the judges in Yerushalayim aren't of the level of smartness of judges of previous generations. Nonetheless, the Torah tells you, you are required still to go to the Kohanim and to the judges, the Sanhedrin that are in Yerushalayim. Once the rebellious judge goes to the Kohen and to the judge that is in those days, and the judge gives a ruling, now what basis does this rebellious judge decide to go against the Kohanim and against the judges? What justification is this rebellious elder going to give for ignoring the ruling of the Kohen or the Sanhedrin? The Chasam Sofer explains that this rebellious elder is going to say that I don't have to listen to these people in Yerushalayim, because all these people in Yerushalayim do is Oimet L'Shores Shom Hashem Elokecha, The Kohen, all he does is doing the service of Hashem. He doesn't have time to learn Torah because he's busy doing the Avodah. Therefore, since he doesn't have time to learn Torah, obviously my devotion to Torah, my time sitting and learning Torah is valued more because I get more knowledge that way because I am sitting and learning all day, where the Kohanim are doing the service all day. And that is the reason why the Torah stresses what the elder is going to say, that he doesn't want to listen because the Kohen, Oymed L'Shores Shom Ez Hashem Lokecho, the Kohen is standing there to serve Hashem, therefore he doesn't have Torah knowledge and I don't have to listen to his decisions, to his rulings. And then he's going to say the same thing regarding the judges, because since they are Sanhedrin, they are obviously pious people, and if they are pious people, they're obviously spending 9 hours a day praying. Then this rebellious elder is going to say, how do you expect the Sanhedrin to know any Torah if they spend 9 hours a day learning? And this is going to be the rebellious elder excuse for not listening to the rabbis in Yerushalayim. But this will also cause that the people who will give less value to prayer and less value to doing the service in the temple. Therefore, we put this rebellious elder to death. And once we put this rebellious elder to death, then the Chalom Ishmu, they will hear, meaning they will hear that he was put to death because he thought that he has more Torah knowledge than the Sanhedrin, and he has more Torah knowledge than these Kohanim that are standing to serve. And this is actually wrong, because they still have more Torah knowledge, because since they're doing the service of Hashem, their Torah becomes blessed. Beirau, the people will fear, and they learn not to disparage prayer and not to disparage the service of the Kohanim in the temple. But we see from this Chasam Sofer that when you do the service in the temple, Hashem also gives you a bracha that your Torah knowledge becomes blessed. According to this, says Sefer Shemeroish, that this could be the reason why Aharon was reluctant to take the service of the tabernacle. Meaning that Aharon already was spending so much time working with the Jewish people in order to make peace between man and man and wife, and man and Hashem. That Aharon thought that since he's devoting so much time, he obviously cannot learn as much as he wanted, and he felt that he was missing some of the Torah learning because he was devoting so much time in order to make peace. Therefore, Aharon was reluctant in taking the job of the tabernacle and doing the Avodah, because then he will have even less time to learn Torah. Because if you take away the time that he is devoting for making peace and then the time that he's required to make the service at tabernacle, there isn't almost any time left. Then when is he going to learn Torah? Therefore, Aharon was reluctant to take it. He didn't want to take the job of being a Kohen, of being the priest, because he didn't want to take away more time from his Torah learning. Therefore, Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu to kach es Aharon, to take Aharon. Take Aharon if words, meaning explain to Aharon that if you do the service of the tabernacle, you don't have to worry, because Hashem is going to give you a blessing, that the little time that you devote for Torah learning, that is going to be blessed, your knowledge is going to be stronger than before. But Aharon may still not be convinced. Therefore Hashem said that Moshe Rabbeinu should gather the whole congregation of Jewish people, El Pesach or El Moed, into the door of the tent of meeting. And Hashem made a miracle that this small space as the doorway was able to expand and accept the whole congregation of Jewish people, which means 600,000 people stood in this doorway. So we see that Hashem could make a small space expand to fit all these people. So too, if you are going to serve Hashem and you are going to serve the people, then Hashem will make that the little knowledge that you get from spending a little time learning Torah will be expanded, and your wisdom will be broadened as you would have spent a lot of time learning Torah. According to this, Sefer Shemeroish explains that this is the meaning of the two drops of oil that were in the beard of Aaron. Meaning, the Gemara in Menachas, Daf Pei Hey Amud Beis, 85b, and also in Horias, Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, 13b, say that olive oil symbolizes wisdom of the Torah. And Aaron only had 2 drops of oil, signifying that he didn't have much time to learn about wisdom, because since he didn't have time to learn Torah, because he was busy making peace between man and man, therefore all he had is 2 drops of oil at the tip of his beard. But when he spoke, meaning when he spoke to people trying to promote peace between man and man, or man and Hashem, then Hashem gave a blessing that little oil that it was there because he didn't have time to learn went up the root of his beard, and it expanded, symbolizing that the wisdom is expanding because he is speaking, because he is promoting peace between man and man, and Hashem views it as a special thing. Therefore, Hashem gives a blessing in his Torah that his Torah won't be forgotten and his Torah will expand. According to this, Sefer Shemeroish explains, we could now answer why in the beginning, in last week's Parsha, when Aharon was appointed as a priest, Moshe Rabbeinu called the whole congregation of the Jewish people to see that Aharon was appointed by Hashem and he didn't do it on his own. And here, when Aharon is appointed as a high priest, Moshe Rabbeinu only calls the elder of Israel to see that Aharon is being appointed the high priest. Meaning that since Moshe Rabbeinu was going to make Aharon a priest, which is a distinct class amongst the people, and Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to dispel the notion that he appointed his brother as priest because of family ties, therefore he called the whole congregation of the Jewish people. But here, when Moshe Rabbeinu was going to appoint Aharon as a high priest, Moshe Rabbeinu felt that it is not necessary to call all the Jewish people. It is only necessary to call the elders of Israel, because the elders of Israel are the only ones that may take issue to the fact that Aharon was appointed as a high priest. Why? The elders knew that Aharon is always involved in making peace between man and man and man and Hashem. And consequently, they knew that Aharon doesn't have so much time to devote to Torah learning, since the work of making peace between man and man and man and Hashem requires a lot of time. And since the Gemara in Kedushin, Daf Lamed Beis Amed Beis 32b, says that Zoken is the acronym Zeh Kono Chochma, that this is a person who acquired wisdom, therefore Moshe Rabbeinu thought that the elders could believe that they are more deserving of the position of high priest, since they are the ones who acquired wisdom. Since being a high priest is a unique and distinguished position amongst the Jewish people, Moshe Rabbeinu thought that they believed that one of them is the one that deserves to be appointed as a high priest, because they are the ones that acquired the wisdom of the Torah, because they are the ones devoting more time to learning the Torah. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu called them specifically when he is appointing Aharon as a high priest, and he told them, "Shal pi hadibur Aharon nechnas umeshamesh bekehuna gedoyla." And normally we translated that through a statement of Hashem, Aharon enters to serve as a high priest. But Sefer Shemeroish takes this statement and plays with the words, and he says that "Shal pi hadibur" does not mean through the word of Hashem or through a statement of Hashem. It means to say that Moshe Rabbeinu is explaining to the elders what merit does Aharon HaKohen have that he becomes a high priest. And the merit is Shal pi hadibur, because of his speech, meaning because of the way he speaks to the people, the way he makes peace between man and man, and he makes peace between man and Hashem, that is what merits him to become a high priest. Not Shal pi hadibur because of the word of Hashem, meaning Hashem commanded him to become a high priest. It is explaining to the elders why Hashem commanded them to become a high priest. Shal pi hadibur, that because of his speech, meaning because of Aharon's speech, the way he talks to the people, That is what made them become high priest. Meaning that since when he speaks to the people, Hashem gives a bracha, that the little Torah that he learns becomes expanded and he never forgets the Torah, then don't think that because you devote more time to learning, you know more Torah than Aharon. Aharon gets this merit, Shalpi Adibur, because he speaks to the people, therefore Hashem gives him the merit that his Torah becomes expanded, and that merit makes him becoming a high priest. Meaning that Aharon's Torah is even greater than your Torah, because he gives of his time to others. As the Pasuk in Malachi says, Kisiv se koyen ishmeru das, that the lips of the koyen should safeguard knowledge, the Torah yevakshu mipiu, and Torah they will ask from his mouth, ki malach Hashem tzevoizu, because he is an angel of Hashem, and the reason why he merited all this Torah is that b'shalom uvamishur holachiti, that in peace and fairness he walked with me, meaning that Aharon pursued peace and fairness, v'rabim heishiv ma'avoin, and a lot of people he turned away from sin. That is what caused him to become a wise person, that even supersedes the Torah of the sages. Therefore, Hashem appointed Aharon as the high priest. And Hashem Yisburach should help that we should all pursue and make peace to one another. Then we'll merit to have Moshiach come, the Beis HaMikdash rebuilt. B'imheiro b'yomeinu, amen.